Accession number 30407, Mr. Ralph Curtin, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Curtin?
I was born in Birmingham on the 13th of April 1926.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background, you know, what your parents did for a living, that kind of thing?
My father worked at Henry Wiggins and Company, Ladywood, Birmingham. He was a foreman in the packing department.
Was that a good job?
Yes, it was a very responsible job, and he had to sit to make sure that everything was dispatched to the right places, and it was quite a responsible job, yes.
And he'd served as a regular as well. Tell us about that.
He was a regular. My father was put into a blue coat school when he was very young. And from there, he eventually finished up in the regular army. He progressed right the way through the wars, and he finished up as a regimental sergeant major, and he was also commissioned as an officer in the Home Guard.
In the Second World War?
In the Second World War.
And had his war, so he was in the Great War, the First World War, had his experiences had much impact on him? Had he been wounded or?
He was wounded twice. He spent most of his time in the Middle East and the Far East, as it were.
But he hadn't been damaged by his experiences then, as far as you could tell?
As far as I can tell, he was very reluctant to talk about things like the war. My mother was a very strong church woman. She insisted that we did go to church every Sunday, and Christian upbringing, very strong.
Which denomination?
CVA.
And so was it a reasonably comfortable childhood for you? I mean, what was your house like? What sort of area did you live in?
We lived in various houses. Lozells, we lived in a house there. We moved to Ladywood, Birmingham. Number 4, the Shoreby, Coplow Street, Ladywood, Birmingham 16, which was, in those days, was quite a nice house. It was 2 up, 2 down. No outside toilet, no bath, which the bath was a zinc tub that was hung up outside. Friday night, Saturday night was bath night.
Now, how many brothers and sisters did you have, or was it?
Well, I had a sister but unfortunately she died when she was 12. I can just remember looking out of a bedroom window and wondering what a lot of fuss was about. And obviously it was Gladys, her name was Gladys, and she was in the box going away.
And so you had a brother, though?
And then I had my brother, Dennis Norman Curtin. Quite a guy.
And he'll crop up in the story later,
he'll
I think.
Later,
so,
yeah.
So I think we'll leave. Now, so what kind of a childhood did you have? What do you remember of your childhood?
Very stern upbringing. Very stern. Father was a strict disciplinarian, obviously because of his army background, and complimented by my mother. One can imagine, one didn't stray too far, too often. If you did, the results were upon yourself, as it were.
Happy enough, though?
Happy enough. Always enough food. Mother was a very, very good cook. And she made sure that we, if she went short, we didn't. So that was our upbringing.
Now, what about your education? Tell me about that.
Ordinary day school, and I went to the Birmingham Technical College, where I studied mechanical engineering.
Now, why that? What were you good at? What were you bad at school? Why did you pick mechanical?
I was good with hands and mechanical things. I could always take things apart, and I could always put them back together again. Or if they weren't working, I would do my endeavours and best to get them working. So really, from the age of 14 upwards, I was always mechanically minded and along those lines.
So that was your favourite. So what about the other subjects? How did you get on with the normal subjects?
Normal subjects, didn't do too bad at geography. English, average. Mathematics, I must admit, a little bit iffy, to put a word to it. Improved as we went along.
And how old were you when you went to the technical college?
16.
So that'd be 1940, when the war was on.
Yep.
And what qualifications were you studying for there?
Well, I started to do a mechanical engineering degree, but I never finished it. Never finished it.
So how many years were you at the technical college?
2 years.
To 1942. Mm-hmm. Now, were just any big interests outside? We'll come to the war, the Second World War, but any big interests that you had, or was it making things, pulling things apart, making them technical things? Was that your hobby as well as your?
Well, I started, and my father, having worked at, as I explained earlier, as a foreman at the Henry Wigan and Company, got me a position in the foundry. It was a
heavy. Now, hang on. No, this is interest outside, hobbies, things like
hobby,
that.
Hobby.
Hobbies, football, sports,
things
like that.
Football, sports, any sports, swimming, football, cricket.
What level did you play them at? Was it just still at school or?
School. I did never got into a recognised team, but generally I was in amongst. We used to play in the parks in those days. The Parks League we were in, so we played in Handsworth League, which we did quite well.
That was football.
Football, yeah.
What position did you play?
Outside right.
So pretty quick.
I was quick. Sports was my thing. We took part in sports, short, 100 yards, sprints, stuff like that.
And what about other hobbies or recreations?
Cricket. I like cricket. Used to play cricket. Edgbaston Cricket Club. My father was keen there. We used to go there and play in the nets and that sort of thing. Ball boys and so on and so forth. Quite interesting. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
But what about outside sport? Anything outside sport? Any hobbies? You weren't in the Boy Scouts or anything?
Oh, dancing.
That young you did dancing?
No, I was in the Boy Scouts.
No, sorry, dancing motive.
You're talking about sports?
Well, I'm talking about recreations.
Oh, recreation.
I'm surprised you went dancing at that age, before you were.
Well, yes, I liked dancing. And we used to go professional tuition for dancing. Philip Hawley Academy Hagley Road, Birmingham.
How old were you when you went there then?
I was about 15, 16, yes.
Dancing was quite important to you then?
It was, I enjoyed it. Always have done.
Were you in the Boy Scouts or anything?
Yes, yes.
What did you do with them?
Oh, we used to go camping weekends, various places. The usual troop meetings and sports events and rafters. And
how military do you think it was? Because, you know, it was partially a military
organization. It was. Looking back on it, one could say it was leading up to the military.
In what way? Just explain a bit more.
Well, they got you used to marching in company, doing things together, establishing troops, leaders, obstacles to overcome. It was all planned and allied along lines leading towards the military, I feel, anyway.
Now, stepping back a bit, what do you remember? That you'd be young, you'd be only 13, when the war broke out. It's an old joke. Do you remember the day war broke out? But do you remember how you felt, what happened that day when you were 13?
I remember my mother crying, and father was saying that, you know, it was a terrible thing, but looking at it from his point of view, he realised really how bad it could be.
How did you feel, or were you too young to think?
I was too young to understand it. I know elder people were disturbed, very disturbed by it, and obviously as the years went by, I realised why.
Did you hear the radio broadcast? Or?
We did. I sat with my mother and father on an old Vidor wireless battery with an acid battery that we used. One of my jobs was I used to have to go and take the old accumulator back to the charging shop and get a replacement for it. And that's what we used to listen to.
Now, how did the war affect your lives? What about, well, firstly, rationing, because it started quite early, rationing. What about food and clothing rationing? Was that a bother, or sweet rationing as well? That came in.
Well, going back to when the war broke out, father used to, through various connections, get a certain amount of food from the country. But gradually that sort of dried up, and then we were down to coupons and whatever.
How did you manage on that?
Well, as I say, mother was a very good cook, and she used to do all sorts of things to improvise and make do and mend, as it were, to help. As I said earlier, that she always made sure that we were okay. Even if that's father and mother, went without, so that we could keep our spirits up, I suppose, and keep our bodies growing, keep us nourished.
Did you notice you were? I mean, did you miss the foods that weren't there? You know, because it was a more mundane diet, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was a, how can you put it? It was a nutritional diet rather than a filling diet, as it were. One learned to go without certain things.
Did you miss sweets? Were you a big sweet?
Very much so, very much so. Chocolate especially. And we loved chocolate, my brother and I.
Now, what about clothing rationing? Did that affect you?
Yes. Again, make do and mend, and that's where my clothes came in for my brother. Hand-me-downs were order of the day. If I had a hat and it was too big for him, mother would tighten it up for him.
So all your clothes went
all
to your
my
brother.
Clothes went down to Dennis.
How much younger than you was he? About 2 or 3 years, or
was it 2 years? 2 years below me. And that was the thing with my brother. My father told me when I was old enough to understand that I was in charge of his brother, my brother, and I was to look after him. Always. Whatever. I was responsible. And that got him and me into a lot of trouble.
In what way?
Well, he eventually, of course.
Oh, you mean later on?
Later on.
Not when you were young, right.
He went his way, and I went mine, and times would happen where something would happen and I was responsible and I knew nothing at all about it. There you are.
But it was set up early that you
it
were responsible.
It was set up early that I should look after my brother.
Now, what about air raid precautions? Birmingham was bombed, but not as much as some places, but it was. I mean, did you have an air raid shelter, either a Morrison inside the house or an Anderson or a communal one?
No, we never had an air raid shelter. We used to go down into the cellars. And there was a cellar that presumably still is, if the house is still there, at Coplow Street, Ladywood. We used to go down in the cellar. And that was our air raid shelter.
So was it reinforced at all, or was it just... So not much use for anything, really, then?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
What was down there? Do you remember what it was like when you were in
what
there?
What was down there? Well, it was a dark... There was no light down there. We used to have to take a paraffin lamp down there. And all there was a certain amount of coal in one corner. So both my brother and I rigged up a sort of a bench seat. And Mother used to make up a flask and take it down. And that was it. Father was he was an ARP warden, just at a local place up the road. And when the all clear came, of course, we'd come out.
So there was no bigger shelter anywhere you could go, no communal one? Or you just didn't go?
Well, when the siren went, there was no local. There was only the ARP shelter, which was at the back of us, back of the houses.
What
but
was
it
that?
Was only an air raid warning shelter for the wardens.
Okay.
And that was it. There was no other shelter for us.
Now, what about your gas mask? Do you remember being issued with your gas mask?
Yes. Yes.
That might have been just before the war, but what do you remember about it? Because we're quite interested in how children reacted to being issued with a gas mask, whether they understood
Didn't
it.
Didn't like it.
Why not?
Couldn't get used to the smell and the breathing. It always used to mist up inside until we found out how to demist it. So you couldn't see when you first put it on.
How did you demist it then?
Well, they used to use saliva, and if you put saliva inside it, it would keep it clear for a little while. Then you have to do it again.
So you got that. Now, what about the bombing? What do you remember about the bombing raids?
Oh, it was terrible. They hit Birmingham many, many times, and the tremendous damage. We actually were hit with incendiary bombs that... Actually, the funny part about it was, it came through the roof of the outside toilet, and Father dumped a bag of sand on it to get rid of it. But the houses above us, at the end of the entry, were blown sky high, so just as well we were down the cellar.
And So there was a bombing landing. What was it like in a raid? What do you remember of it when you were in your cellar?
Well,
with
the
this going on?
Would go, and the father would make sure we went down the cellar and stayed there until he came for us. And a lot of noise, because being down in the cellar, it was reasonably dark, apart from the lamp. And every time the AA guns were going off, and they had some mobile ones that used to come round, and they used to, one hell of a crack when they went off. And then, well, of course, when the houses at the top of the entry were bombed, there was one tremendous roar. Dirt and dust, everything. We found out, when we went out and see all the debris.
Were there many killed in the area? Or were they lucky?
I think there was quite a few killed, but I think from other places that were bombed, I think we got away lightly with it, really. I think generally the area was hit, but not as bad as some places.
What about these mobile anti-aircraft guns? Did you actually see them? I mean, you go and tell me about them?
Well, we saw them being dismantled. They used to put down legs to shoot.
Would you talk to the crews or?
No. We wanted to see them away, because every time they fired, the windows would go out. Concussion was such, it used to shatter windows.
Now, anything else about the air raids? Any other close escapes? Because, you know, it's going on for a fair while.
Oh, yes, it did. We moved. We went to Pershore Road. And that was a quieter period of time there. My mother and father looked after a surgery for a doctor. And it was a bit more out in the country. Pershore Road, it was Hagley.
Still Birmingham, though?
Yeah, still Birmingham, yeah.
Less bombing there?
Less bombing there, yeah.
And then what happened? I mean, had you started work then? We might come on.
Oh, yes.
Now, tell me about starting work then, because I stopped you before. You're saying about your father at the foundry?
Yes. My father, as I told you, being the foreman at the Henry Wien packing department, he got me this job in the factory in the rolling department. And
that's a steel foundry,
yes. And they did all cold running wire and strip wire right down to a millimetre. And most of the stuff was very, very thin, and it used to go through rollers and obviously be rolled out thinner and thinner. And he got me a job to work with an operator, to, as the metal came through, it went over to a running spindle. And one had to grab it coming through the rollers with gloves on. And these gloves had little link elements built into the glove fingers, so that when you grabbed the sheet metal, you had to then put it on the roller and make sure it started, and then obviously it would run off. I stood it for a week, and at the end of the week, my hands were so cut badly, it was cutting through the gloves, I couldn't do anything. I had to go down to the hospital.
How old were you then when you started that?
I was 16.
So that's 1942, sorry. So you went to the hospital. What happened?
And, obviously they fixed me up. But I said to Father, that's it. I'm not working in there anymore. And he made arrangements through various offices and started me in the garage department of Henry Wien and Company, which was really what I wanted in the first place.
Now, what were you doing in the garage department?
Well, I was working under a gentleman by the name of Fred Hadley. He was the manager of the garage, and he and I very, very quickly bonded. There were two other trainees with me, and eventually I worked my way up to looking after. In the factory, they had these little tractors with a trailer behind. You've seen them in the factories where they buzz in and out of with all this trailer. Well, the tractor engines were my specialty. That was my department, looking after all that lot.
And you enjoyed this as a 16, 17-year-old.
The other thing, of course, was we had various company cars and motorbikes. And eventually I was given the task of looking after those. So I was looking after the tractors in the factory, which was 14, 15 of them. Two motorbikes, Bellisets they were, Bellisette 250s. And two motor cars. One was an Austin 17 with wire wheeled, I always remember it. And the other one was a Vauxhall. So that's what I was doing before I was called up.
So you were enjoying all that?
I enjoyed it. And it was close because where the factory was there, if you came out of the factory and across the road, the main road went down, the trams running down, over this side was a canal here, and at the side of it was a garage, and at the side of that was a big assembly dining room, which was handy because I could go in there and got to know the cooks and everything, and we used to look after them and they looked after us, so it was how we got a little bit extra.
And you were doing that from 42 till you were called up?
Till I was called up.
Now, were you in any of the voluntary organisations? I mean, the Home Guard, ARP. I know your dad was in it, but were you in anything?
No.
Too young or...?
Too young.
Now, what about, as you were getting older, getting pushing near 18, would you go to dance halls? I mean, because you were interested in dancing.
Oh, yes, we used to go.
Because dance halls are something that don't really exist anymore, or not as they were. Could you? What was a night out in a dance hall like then?
Dance hall? Well, one would go to, I used to go to the Embassy Ballroom, Edgbaston, which was the Edgbaston Reservoir, and in the grounds of the reservoir was a big hall, which they turned into a dance hall. And that was every Friday and Saturday evenings. And I used to go every Saturday evening with some of my friends who were of the same age. And all the local girls would all go, because that was the place to go, to be seen. And there were good bands.
It'd be live music.
Oh, live music, yes, oh yes, very
and,
much so.
And what kind of live? Was it sort of jazz or American big band or British big band or what was it?
It was British big bands with American type music. All the latest they used to play. You could get refreshments, cup of tea.
And what would you be wearing? I can't picture it now. Your suit, or did you have a suit?
Yes, I had a suit, but normally I'd wear a jacket, grey trousers, black shoes, a white shirt, tie. And
so very respectable looking.
Oh, very respectable. It was. They used to have what they call bouncers. They still have bouncers, I believe. On the doors, and if you didn't measure up, you weren't in. You weren't allowed in. You couldn't go in.
And they were dry.
No
alcohol.
No, there was no alcohol.
So how did the dances work? So you know, you come in and there's a band playing. How do you get to dance with who you want to in those days?
Well, the girls used to be standing at the side, and over a period of time, we got to know the local chaps. And the local chaps got to know all the local girls who went on a Saturday evening. So it sort of worked out that you'd sort of have not an official meeting, but you'd have a sort of a standing arrangement to meet up for mutual dancing.
And what dances were they?
Foxtrot, tangos, waltzes.
And this is what you've been learning.
What I've been learning, and to help out, and they used to have competitions. which was quite good, because by going to Philip Hawley's dancing school, professional dancers who were running it, I always remember the first time we went there, we were dared to go, actually, by some girls, because they said we couldn't dance, and they said, well, go to Philip Hawley's and get some lessons. So we did. There was about five of us went. And can you imagine seeing five big hulking youths standing on a dance floor with his arms outstretched, being shown how to balance on 1 foot, 2 feet, and where to put them for various positions, and how to hold a lady, and so on and so forth. But it paid off in the end, because we used to win the competitions, which probably meant that you were allowed to enter the for two or three Saturdays free of charge. So that was worth it.